Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Martha's Vineyard is often associated with musicians James Taylor and Carly Simon, but the island's rich and long legacy of music dates back to the island's first settlers, the Wampanoag, and continues today. What's more, music is a part of life for many who call Martha's Vineyard home, not just those who play music professionally. Music on Martha's Vineyard, A History of Harmony, is a new book co-authored by Tom Dresser and Jerry Muskin. Tom joins us in our Woods Hole studio. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
And Jerry Muskin joins us on the phone. Welcome, Jerry.
Welcome to me. Thank you.
Now, Tom, you are the author of a number of books, and we've talked about many of those books on Martha's Vineyard history. What prompted a book about music?
Good question. It came to me after a meeting where I'd been talking about another book, and Jerry Muskin came up to me and said, "You really should write a story about the Vineyard Haven Band. They've been around for 150 years or so, and they deserve something." Well, I didn't think that there was enough material to write a whole book, but I did write a piece for the local historical museum, and they published it a few years ago. But Jerry didn't let up. He said that we need to have a book about music in a broader sense than just the band. And so we got together about a year ago and started putting our heads together on how to put this book together. And that's really how it got going. Jerry inspired me and convinced me it needed to be written.
Yeah. Now, Jerry, in addition to a number of other professions and pursuits, you are also a musician. When did you first become involved in the music scene on the Vineyard?
Well, I started with the Martha's Vineyard Chamber Music Society before I went to the Vineyard Haven Band. So that goes back maybe 15 years, and then I played for about 5 years on the Vineyard Band up until a couple of years ago. So I've been in one way or another involved with music on the Vineyard.
Yeah.
But at the opposite ends of the range from band to chamber music.
Now, with any story, there's always the question where to begin, and you decided to start with the first musicians to inhabit the Vineyard, the Wampanoag. So tell us more about the role of music in the Wampanoag culture.
The book points out that there's a variety of types of music enjoyed or played by the tribe. The tradition continues on. I'm in the midst of reading a book called Caleb's Crossing by Geraldine Brooks, which is a marvelous piece of literature, and it deals with the early days of the Wampanoag and goes beyond what Tom and I did, but there's still a factor on the island of a significant amount.
Yes, it's really that the Wampanoags really used music as a way to celebrate their heritage. And whether it was just song or song and dance, they have kept it going through the years. And so a big part of their culture revolves around music. We know that the Wampanoags have been on the Vineyard for eons, and that music really began with them as far as the Vineyard goes.
And we have a clip from a Wampanoag love song.
The Black Brook Singers, the tribal drum of the Aquinnah Wampanoag, singing Durwood Vanderhoop's love song to his wife, Jamie Lee.
Now, of course, inhabitants of Martha's Vineyard were active in the whaling industry. Many served as crew aboard the whaling ships, and the singing of sea shanties were a part of both their work and their recreation. How much of that music did they bring back to the island?
A lot of the sea shanties were not recorded, neither written down nor any sort of recording. So it really became word of mouth that was passed on from generation to generation. And the sea shanties really became a backbone of how the sailors got through their day. They would be singing the songs, whether they'd be hoisting an anchor or chasing a whale, lifting the carcass out of the water. Any of that was hard work, and the sea shanties became a way to make the work a little bit easier. What's interesting is that a lot of the songs were really lost over the years, and we found a historian on the Vineyard, Gail Huntington, who was able to capture a lot of the songs and put them into a written format and a format that people could record and play them.
Mark Lovewell is a contemporary Vineyard musician who performs sea shanties. So tell us more about how and why he took up sea shanties.
That's really a nice tradition of how the music evolved, because we have the sea shanties from basically the 1700s and 1800s. And then Gail Huntington was the historian who was born around 1900. And so he got the songs going and he played them and recorded them. But Mark Lovewell is a current musician, and he's also a reporter for the Vineyard Gazette and a photographer. And he was very taken by Gail Huntington. Mark was a musician in his own right, but then when he got to meet Gail Huntington, he realized that there was a whole treasure trove of these sea shanties that needed to be preserved and performed. And so Mark took it under his wing to promote these. And he's done a couple of CDs, and he does concerts on a regular basis.
Yeah. And we have a clip from one of his songs, Rolling Home.
Call all hands to man the capstan, see the cable running clear, heave away and with the will, boys, for New England we do steer. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea, rolling home to dear New England, rolling home, dear God, to thee. Fare thee well, ye Spanish maidens, it is time to bid adieu. Happy time we've spent together, happy times I've spent with you. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea, rolling home to dear New England, rolling home, dear God, to thee. Frosty morning, and the sails are full of snow. Tighten those sheets and pull in those halyards. Let her off and let her go. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea. Rolling home to dear New England, rolling home, dear God, to thee. Many thousand miles behind us, many thousand miles to go, the ocean lifts her waves to bring us to that well-remembered shore. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home across the sea, rolling home to Martha's Vineyard, rolling home, dear God, to
Wait, it has a much more contemporary sound when you have the guitar with that, doesn't it?
Than just
hearing the song.
He brings it alive. That's what I love about it, yeah.
There's an item in the book that notes how important the ships were with the singers. The captain of the ship grieved if they lost men at sea while capturing a whale, but he absolutely became seriously pained if they lost a whale. Something's never changed.
Right, yeah. There's an actual music street on the vineyard, and the story goes it got its name during whaling times.
Right. The whaling captains would go abroad, and when they came ashore, they could purchase products. And one thing that they were able to buy overseas were pianos. And several sea captains bought pianos and brought them home to their daughters and wives. And several of the sea captains lived on this street in the center of West Tisbury. And they named the street Music Lane because of all the pianos that were playing along the street.
You know the story why it was called Music Street?
All the pianos, right?
Rosemary Dyes Doan and Thomas Hodgson in West Tisbury.
At that time, there were a lot of whaling people on the island, and they would go off and earn their fortunes with the whale oil industry. And the wives who were left behind were kind of bored, so they wanted to have something to do. So they said, well, let's get some pianos. So they brought these pianos, and they were all the same. There was one in our house on Music Street. It was one of 6 or 8 or 10 along the street, and that's why it was called Music Street.
So, Jerry, this gives us a sense of how important music was during this time period.
Oh, an interesting piece of the piano thing was that it was, maybe the first example of the competition between Martha's Vineyard and Nantucket. The first issue of the Vineyard Gazette pointed to the date of the oldest piano on the vineyard, which was about 5 years older than the first piano on Nantucket, and there was a plea imposed on the article that called on the community to determine if they had a piano that was older than the one on Nantucket. An interesting piece of area history, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the continuation of the whaling industry and the chanties and the sea songs, those were the folk songs of that era, and underscored the whole movement towards folk singing.
Yeah. Early on in Martha's Vineyard history, town bands played a prominent role in the music scene. And you write, returning Civil War veterans formed the island's oldest continuous music ensemble, the Vineyard Haven Band. First, Tom, let's start with you. Tell us more about how this group and other town bands got started.
Well, apparently it wasn't unique on Martha's Vineyard to have a town band after the Civil War. It was sort of like the veterans came home from the war and wanted to continue something that was traditional and patriotic. And so the Vineyard Haven Band was a brass band and trumpets and cornets and so forth at first. And it played at numerous places around the island and became sort of a tradition on the island that this was where the music was performed. And one of the highlights was about 8 years after the band was formed in 1874, the President of the United States visited Martha's Vineyard. Ulysses S. Grant was the first sitting president to visit the vineyard, and the Vineyard Haven Band was able to perform for the president, and that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. And, Jerry, that's sort of where the Vineyard Haven Band is sort of what got you started on this book.
Another feature of this is that they played for the president from the New Gazebos at Ocean Park, and it was built specifically for the president. Mm. It looks pretty clear that the underlying facilities were put in place for vacationing presidents for the next 100 and some years.
Yeah. You include a photo of the band in 1899 and include the caption, "Woodwinds and women not welcome." Did that change over time, I hope?
It did change. It's kind of an ironic phrase, but the woodwinds were not welcome. They really wanted it to be a brass band, and I think the original name had brass in it, but they eventually realized that they could have a lighter tone to the musicians. As far as women went, they did let women in first in the 1930s, and then that sort of the women, there were only a few in the band, and then there were no women for a number of years, and then there was a second wave of women in the 1950s and 60s. Now we're very proud that we, today, the Vineyard Haven Band is still in existence, and the conductor is a woman.
Oak Bluffs has long been the center of summer activity on the Vineyard, and in 1907, the doors of the Tivoli opened. Tell us about that music venue.
Well, the Tivoli itself was a building that was two stories. The first floor was a number of shops and little gaming activities, but the second floor was a big dance hall. And a few years after the dance hall got, or the building got, it was built, a dance band became part of the building, in that it was a very central place where people would come and dance and listen to this music. And the music was run by a sextet, a band of six people run by a fellow named Will Hardy. And for 20 years, he was in charge of the band. He wrote music, composed music, and people would come to Oak Bluff, specifically to the Tivoli, to hear this music played. And it really brought a lot of people, not just on the Vineyard, but it started the whole vacation attitude toward coming to Oak Bluffs as a party town.
In the era of big bands and swing, I imagine the Tivoli was the place to go. But later, more music venues opened, and there were a number of options to enjoy live music, right?
Yes. Jumping ahead, really, after the Second World War, there were more folk singers playing. There was a place up in Chilmark called the Chilmark Tavern that drew a lot of people across the island to come there. A fellow named Thomas Hart Benton was we think of him as an artist, primarily, but he also was a musician, and he played the harmonica, and he was very well known. Tom Benton and the Harmonica Boys would come to the Chilmark Tavern and let loose and had a great time there. So the Chilmark Tavern was a big place. In the 1960s, if I'm jumping too far ahead, let me know, but the Mooncusser Cafe was another place that drew people. And following that, there was the Hot Tin Roof, mm-hmm. that we've all heard about. That was what Carly Simon got involved in that. And then we had Wintertide, which was a place where musicians could play and perform, but also amateurs could get up on stage and do their thing. We've had a number of different venues.
We are talking with Tom Dresser and Jerry Muskin. Their book, Music on Martha's Vineyard, A History of Harmony. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Tom Dresser and Jerry Muskin. Their book is Music on Martha's Vineyard, A History of Harmony. Your book touches on numerous musicians on the island, as was mentioned, starting in the early 20th century. While there are too many to mention here, one begins to realize how central music and singing was to life. Music was a way for people connected to one another and to their history. There are people who still pursue music as passionately as they did back then, but it seems there are fewer, not just on the Vineyard, but everywhere. What are your thoughts as to why?
Go ahead, Tom. Yeah.
I think that music is, the people who I've spoken to, music is part of their system. Music is in their body and soul, and they can't live without playing. So the people that we interviewed and talked to in this book, they're going to play music whether they're on stage in front of hundreds of people or whether they're in a basement with a couple of friends. Music is in their system. What's interesting is that in this book we were able to interview people who are very successful. Jeremy Berlin and the Johnny Hoy and the Bluefish, they travel off island. They've got numerous CDs. They're regular bands. They're big names on the Vineyard. Mike Benjamin is another one. Don Groover is another one. Kevin Keady doesn't make the big time, but he plays every week at the Farmers Market in West Tisbury. There's several other people that are really making it in a big way, but there are also others that are just skating by. And part of that is that the economics of it is you don't always make money by playing. You have to just sort of go with the flow. And if you can get some gigs that are very popular and earn some money, good. But a lot of times you're just playing at public events where you've got an audience that'll listen to you.
There's another feature of this, that is that there's an intergenerational adoption of music. Many examples of it exist today on the island, of father to grandfather to granddaughter. It's a remarkable phenomenon. The lead trumpeter in the Vineyard Band comes from generations of trumpeters. It's a remarkable thing. And another piece of it is that the high school and otherwise give music instruction and pick young people up and bring them into the field. There's a fellow there who has a drum program. Tom can tell you more about this, but the drum program is an international thing for this fella, and certainly an all-island thing. It has therapeutic as well as entertainment value. And can you imagine the generations that are of people that can keep the beat are going to be benefiting by this fella's work? One of the things that I'd like to get across is that, as far as I was concerned, the initiation of this book was an examination of the mystical values of the vineyard. That there's a certain magic to the vineyard. I have some examples that underlie this, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
There's a group of young men, I believe it's 30 young men, called the Vineyard Sound, who come every summer to the vineyard from colleges around the Northeast and sing all summer long to the delight of the multitudes. And the one fellow we interviewed said, it's a mystique here. There's some sort of magic. When we step off the boat, our feet feel lighter. Tom Benton, who one of the great artists of the 20th century, spent 50 summers at the vineyard, and he himself wrote that Martha's Vineyard had a profound effect on him by providing a homely subject matter and a great quiet for reflection. Wynton Marsalis, one of the great trumpeters and probably the best trumpeter in the country, spent two summer programs here. And in a phone interview, he said he loved playing at the Tabernacle last year. It's open. It has a deep community feeling. You can feel the warmth of the people. It's a lot of fun to play there. Mm-hmm. The evening glows. Jimmy Cagney had a 20-acre farm in the vineyard for years. He said, I couldn't think of anything more satisfying, more life-fulfilling than living on a farm surrounded by salt water. This is what Martha's Vineyard allowed me to do. I loved it beyond words. Mm.
And I would argue, though, Jerry, that I think that folks living on Nantucket and the Cape would say that same thing, that there's magic across this whole region.
But they didn't have Beverly Hills saying for her, Martha's Vineyard, the island had magical charm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they can brag all they want. We got it.
Okay. In the 1960s, folk music became the voice of a generation. And you mentioned the Mooncusser Coffee House, which at that time was the place to go to hear great musicians. You write there was a low cover to get in. No alcohol was served and there was no age limit. The emphasis was all on the music. So tell us more about that venue and the people who performed there.
Well, we contacted the manager of the Mooncusser, Dave Lyman, who is now up in Maine, but he said it was just such a great experience. It was a 7-day-a-week job through the summer, and the first day that it opened in June of 1963, he had the Clancy brothers come, and they just, you know, took over the stage and got everybody going. The Charles River Boys were there. Jim Queskin came during the summer. Tom Rush was there. We contacted Tom Rush, and he was very generous in his interview and his memories of the Mooncusser. It was an experience.
They don't think of James Taylor and Carly Simon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They got going there. I mean, there was a whole new generation of music that was started there, but also it was some of the people that were just getting out, getting started were there. Mm-hmm. And you're right, no alcohol, a low cover, and it was all about the music.
Yeah, and you mentioned James Taylor and Carly Simon. What's interesting about their stories is that it's similar to the stories of many on the Vineyard. Music was part of the family. Siblings, children, friends all played together and were influenced by one another.
Right. It was what Jerry said before. It was a generational thing that shared between generations, but also shared within the family. And I love a story going back to the beginning of our talk about sharing songs and the sea shanties and stuff. There was a family up in Chilmark known as the Tiltons. There were seven sons that were all singers and musicians. And one of them was known as the Chilmark Singer, who would go from one farm to another farm, just singing his songs, looking for a free meal, and he'd sing for his dinner. So that was one way that the music just was permeating right through the island.
Yeah. It seems as though the 1960s and 70s were particularly rich music-wise on the Vineyard. So many venues, so many talented musicians. It's almost as though everyone was living and breathing music during those decades. What are some of your thoughts as to why this era was so rich musically?
Well, I think that the 60s got things going nationally or internationally with the Beatles and the British invasion. And I think what happened on the Vineyard was sort of a microcosm of what was happening right across the country. And we didn't have the Beatles here, but we did have a lot of other groups that got going. James Taylor actually worked with the Beatles. They are the ones that got him started. But there were a lot of things here with the music that just, there was an openness, a friendliness, an acceptance that people could perform these musical melodies that were just charming and invigorating and kept things going. But you're right that the 60s and 70s really were a high point of the musical experience.
We have a...
It might refer to the presence of Burl Ives on the island. Burl Ives was a sailor who sailed in the summertime into Edgartown and apparently found his way to Circuit Avenue in Oak Bluffs regularly, and his practice was to eat apparently vast amounts of popcorn and then a couple of drinks, and then with the people in the bar, they'd sing folk songs, which no one did better than he. On top of that, the great folk singers of the area, the era, Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger and on and on, were there on the Vineyard. And what better fertilizer to throw on the crops and get them growing than to have the greats of that era right there on the scene.
Right. We have we have a track from a present-day folk singer based on the Vineyard, Jemima James. Tell us a little bit about her before we hear some of her music.
Well, she was a New York folk singer and was working in New York, but then came to the Vineyard to raise her children, and she found that this environment here was just much more relaxed and peaceful. And one of her sons, Willie Mason, is now an international star. But Jemima keeps things low and personal and very cool.
All right, this song is titled American Boy.
Timber frame, easing summer beams, my American boy, so willing and shy, behind the bleachers on the 4th of July. You're my American boy, out for a thrill, dew on the grass, Buffalo Bill, my blackberry pie. Oh, get down to the business of that downtown American kiss. You're all of my fathers and all my sons and all of the lovers I've known. You're all of my brothers, taking what comes. You're the cowboy standing alone. Thank you. guitar, bringing the blues, racing your car, my American boy from Bayside, Queens, giving me sweet powder blue dreams. You're all of my fathers and all my sons and all of the lovers I've known. You're all of my brothers, taking what comes. You're the cowboy standing alone. Oh, cowboy standing alone.
That's a catchy tune, huh?
It really is.
Yeah. Another venue that has both nurtured and shaped the music scene on the Vineyard is Wintertide, and you mentioned that. Tell us about its start and what has made it so special.
Well, I think the whole point of Wintertide was to provide some sort of activity for the Vineyard youth in the off-season. We all know the Vineyard is crazy in the summer, but in the off-season there is a chance to cause a little mischief. Mm-hmm. And I think the Wintertide was designed initially to harbor the forces and nurture them in a musical vein. It worked for like 10 or 15 years in the late 80s and 90s and became quite a strong place for budding musicians to get going. But what I find very interesting about the Wintertide is that it's sort of been reincarnated with the current YMCA, that they have their own teen audience center where teens can go and make music, record music, perform music, and it's modeled after the Wintertide formula. And actually, it's not just modeled after it. It's run by the same person who ran the Wintertide for many years. Tony Lombardi did the Wintertide from 1990 to 1998, and now he's running the Y for the Teen Center.
Mm. Now, Jerry had mentioned drumming, and drumming is part of the Wintertide scene. We have a clip from a drumathon that took place on the Vineyard.
Rick Bosman from Edgartown on the Martha's Vineyard Drumathon.
Well, the 20th hour, it's starting to get pretty hard again. 16 through 18 are actually seem to be when you're in a bit of a state, and the drumming just rolls right along. The hours go by amazingly quickly. I'd say the hardest part is the last 4 hours, because the sun is up again, and you know we have to keep it up till the middle of the day, and the home stretch can be pretty tricky.
Hard not to tap your feet, right?
Yeah.
And there are drumming workshops that take place at Wintertide today, right?
Yes, Rick Bosman works at the Y. He works at several different centers. As Jerry mentioned, he's very involved with the children on the Vineyard. He is known to go into the public schools and present a drumming workshop, a drum program, and gets the kids involved. And he's working with all sorts of people as far as both kids that have behavior problems can seem to get focused on drumming. And he also works with seniors who have something like Parkinson's that might give them problems with balance or with keeping a beat. And he finds that drumming is really therapeutic. Hmm. So it's both nurturing and therapeutic.
We're talking with Tom Dresser and Jerry Muskin. Their book is Music on Martha's Vineyard, A History of Harmony. We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking with Tom Dresser and Jerry Muskin. Their book is Music on Martha's Vineyard, A History of Harmony. Another venue for Martha's Vineyard musicians is the airwaves, and we are fortunate to have MVY Radio. There aren't many locally operated radio stations left these days, much less one that pays such close attention to local musicians. Talk about the role of MVY on the Vineyard music scene.
Well, the focus of MVY really is to promote local musicians, but also to bring in those from off-island. So they really try to listen very closely to what their listeners want to hear and then play those songs, but also promoting the music that Vineyarders are creating. And again, there's a little bit of a tie there because Laurel Redigan, who works at WMVY, also works at the YMCA. So she's bringing those local teenagers that are performing at the Y, at that Wintertide connection, and bringing them onto the radio. So there's a real link there, which is fostering more of the promotion of Vineyard music.
Yeah. Regular listeners to WCAI have probably heard our sonic vignettes featuring the late blues musician Maynard Silva. Before we talk about him and his music, let's hear him in his own words.
I like little guitars because they, something like this, like if I play this without a pick on, you know, if I play, everybody can be sleeping upstairs, you know, and I come down and I go, well, what if I...
Like many Vineyard musicians, talented and beloved musician, but he made his living doing other work. In Maynard's case, he was a sign painter.
Right, right. I used to drive tour buses, and the buses were all painted by Maynard Silva, the little decorations on them. He was a character. My stepson played with him for a number of years, Jeremy Jones, and it was always an experience when he had a public performance with Maynard. There's one interview that we heard that Maynard was asked if he could have his photograph taken for the newspaper. And he said, if I'd known you wanted to take my picture, I would have brought a better band. And that's just how he was. He was gruff, but he had a heart of gold. And just he was really a special, very special character.
Johnny Hoy and the Bluefish are another Vineyard-based band that many are familiar with. And you mentioned them a little earlier, Tom, with both on- and off-island fans. Let's hear some of their music. This is a song called The Dance.
We were all young once and again. Still love how your eyes have that twinkle in them. Shall we dance? Us a dance round this old kitchen floor. With your hand on my shoulder like waves on the shore. Shall we dance? Dance, dance us lost in. Tie me up loose, I'll tie you the same. Should we have a problem, we'll dance it away. Shall we dance, 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 so I'll still dance, dance like the lovers of old. Shall we dance, 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 while angels watch over our rope that is written in stone.
When researching the book, you interviewed Jeremy Berlin, keyboardist and bass player for the band. He describes how he was influenced by other Vineyard musicians. Tell us about that.
I think every musician is influenced by somebody else. And Jeremy Berlin really was talking more about how people are influenced by him. He is very secure in his role with Johnny Hoy, but he sees himself as sort of a senior citizen in relation to the younger people that are coming along, and he's very willing to share his experiences and his knowledge and his know-how. And I think that's a key element in the music history that we came across, is that people aren't selfish about what they're performing and what they're doing. They're sharing it. They're very willing to share it. And Jeremy talked about the other people that play jazz, like John Alimo and Eric Johnson and Mike Tinnis. And it's like they're four, and Jeremy himself, and they're four very different people that, but they can work together. They can fill in for one another when somebody's out. They can sort of pick up from somebody else. Mm. And Jeremy feels that he gets pushed a little bit when he's playing with somebody who's better than him or as good as him. It's sort of like you're trying to do your best effort for somebody else. And he plays with Eric Johnson, and they're a great duo, but they're sort of pushing each other along. And that's much better than playing with somebody who's a slacker, who lets you sort of drift by. We all want to be better than we are. And I think that's what came across when I talked with Jeremy.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, you're talking about being able to play with multiple bands or duos. And I find that's true across this region. You know, you talk mm-hmm. to a musician around here, and a lot of them are not playing with one group of people or mm-hmm. you know, one partner. They kind of mix and match.
Yeah, right.
It's really interesting. And again, like you say, wanting to share the music, I was thinking back to your comment about the farmers market, which mm-hmm. and I've been there. It really adds it's like no other farmers market. It's got this sort of ambience, and partly because of the music.
Right, yeah. Right. Kevin Keady is a standard at the West Tisbury Farmers Market all through the summer. But did you know that it continues through the fall? And we have two or three months where Kevin is playing at the Ag Hall every Saturday morning from 10 to 1. He's playing the music and people are selling vegetables.
Yeah.
And it's just a great feel because when I talked to him, he wanted to say he was sort of part of America. It was like Americana of what he was doing. I mean, he's sort of a rough and rugged looking individual, but he plays music that just feels like it's down home and you're healthy and you're part of the whole ambiance of the market.
Yeah.
But if I can just say one thing, going back to people playing in different bands, another musician is Don Groover, and he's in like two or three bands that he is just a member of. But then he also has about four other bands that he's in charge of. And he says taking care of all these different members of the different bands, it's like running a daycare center that you have to remind people when they're supposed to be there and what time they're supposed to be there and the whole thing.
Blues and folk have deep roots on the vineyard, and as we look forward to the next generation of musicians making names for themselves on the vineyard, are they sticking close to the blues and folk tradition, branching out into some different directions? What's happening on the music scene going forward?
I think Jerry's probably better at talking about this than me, but we were very much aware that there is no one vineyard sound. We have jazz, we have blues, we have traditional, you know, rock and roll. We're going in several different directions. I think rock is the one that people make the most money, they get the biggest name out of, but people who have it in their soul are playing you know, rhythm and blues, or they're just, you know, they're into the jazz and doing that. And again, it's sort of the flexibility of musicians that they can sort of pick up and go with whatever the next movement is. I've worked a couple of times this fall with a fellow named Liam Weiland, whose father is what I call the music man. He's a music teacher, and he's in a half dozen bands. But here's his son, who's a sophomore in high school, and he's playing with the mini singers, and he's doing this and he's doing that. He's all over the place. And it's just that sort of ability to go in different directions is one of the big talents that I think we're aware of here.
Mm. Jerry, what do you think?
Another thing going on in the vineyard that suggests that it'll be music forever, and that is that a ukulele group has started and is pervading the island, and also opera has come on the scene. And it's remarkable that you name a kind of music, and between the Chamber Music Society and jazz on Mondays, mm-hmm. At the Featherstone Gallery, and on and on and on, the music is Martha's Vineyard's middle name.
Yeah, the ukulele group, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because that's apparently a ukulele is one of the easiest instruments to pick up. And there are actually two groups competing now on the island for to play the ukulele, to learn it and play it.
Hopefully they're on different nights so you can play them both.
Right, right.
The book is Music on Martha's Vineyard, A History of Harmony. Tom Dresser and Jerry Muskin, thanks so much for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Very good. Quite enjoyed it.
We're going to go out with Johnny Hoy and the Bluefish with their rendition of Sloop John B. I'm Indy Todd. Thanks for listening.
Sailing on a sloop, John B. My granddaddy and me. Around this hometown, we did roam. We've been drinking all night. Then we got in a fight. And now I feel all broke up. I just wanna go home. So hoist up the jumbo sails and see how the mainsail sets, and send for the captain ashore. Just wanna go home.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince, with assistance from Jenny Junker. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. The Point is a production of WCAI, the local NPR station for the Cape, the Coast, and the Islands.
Captain's a wicked man, gets drunk every time he can. Now he don't give a damn for granddaddy and me. He knocks us around, he knocked granddaddy down. And now I feel so broke, but I just wanna go. So rest up the jumbo sails and see how the mainsail sets. Let's send for the captain ashore. I wanna go. I just wanna go home. And now I feel so broke up. I just wanna go home.